In 1976, more than a decade after the assassination of President John F. Kennedy, a letter arrived at the CIA addressed to its director, the Honorable George Bush. The letter was from a desperate-sounding man in Dallas who spoke regretfully of having been indiscreet in talking about Lee Harvey Oswald and begged Poppy for help. "Maybe you will be able to bring a solution into the hopeless situation I find myself in. My wife and I find ourselves surrounded by some vigilantes, our phone bugged, and we are being followed everywhere. Either FBI is involved in this, or they do not want to accept my complaints. We are driven to insanity by this situation. I tried to write, stupidly and unsuccessfully, about Lee H. Oswald, and must have angered a lot of people. Could you do something to remove this net around us? This will be my last request for help, and I will not annoy you any more." The writer signed himself G. DeMorenschild. The CIA staff assumed the letter writer to be a crank. Just to be sure, however, they asked their boss, "Did he by any chance know a man named DeMorenschild?" Bush responded by memo, seemingly self-typed, "I do know this man DeMorenschild. I first met him in the early 43. He was an uncle to my Andover roommate. Later he surfaced in Dallas, 50s maybe. Then he surfaced when Oswald shot to prominence. He knew Oswald before the assassination of Pres Kennedy. I don't recall his role in all this." Not recall? Once again, Poppy Bush was having memory problems. And not about trivial matters. George DeMorenschild was not just the uncle of a roommate, but a long-time personal associate. Yet Poppy could not recall, or more precisely, claimed not to recall, the nature of DeMorenschild's relationship with the man believed to have assassinated the 35th president. This would have been an unusual lapse on anyone's part, but for the head of an American spy agency to exhibit such a blasé attitude in such an important matter was over the edge. At that very moment, several federal investigations were looking into CIA abuses, including the agency's role in assassinations of foreign leaders. These investigators were heading toward what would become a reopened inquiry into Kennedy's death. Could it be that the lapse was not casual, and the acknowledgement of a distant relationship was a way to forestall inquiry into a closer one? Writing back to his old friend, Poppy assured DeMorenschild that his fears were entirely unfounded. Yet half a year later, DeMorenschild was dead. The cause was officially determined to be suicide with a shotgun. Investigators combing through DeMorenschild's effects came upon his tattered address book, largely full of entries made in the 1950s. Among them, though apparently eliciting no further inquiries on the part of the police, was an old entry for the current CIA director with the Midland address where he had lived in the early days of Zapata. Bush, George H. W., Poppy, 1412 West Ohio, also Zapata Petroleum, Midland. When Poppy told his staff that his old friend DeMorenschild knew Oswald, that was an understatement. From 1962 through the spring of 1963, DeMorenschild was by far the principal influence on Oswald, the older man who guided every step of his life. DeMorenschild had helped Oswald find jobs and apartments, had taken him to meetings and social gatherings, and generally had assisted with the most minute aspects of life for Lee Oswald, his Russian wife Marina, and their baby. DeMorenschild's relationship with Oswald has tantalized and perplexed investigators and researchers for decades. In 1964, DeMorenschild and his wife Jean testified to the Warren Commission, which spent more time with them than any other witness, possibly excepting Oswald's widow, Marina. The commission, though, focused on George de Morenschild as a colorful, if eccentric, character, steering away every time de Morenschild recounted yet another name from a staggering list of influential friends and associates. In the end, the commission simply concluded in its final report that these must all be coincidences and nothing more. The de Morenschilds, the commission said, apparently had nothing to do with the assassination. Even the Warren Commission counsel who questioned George de Morenschild appeared to acknowledge that the Russian émigré was what might euphemistically be called an international businessman. For most of his adult life, de Morenschild had traveled the world ostensibly seeking business opportunities involving a variety of natural resources, some, such as oil and uranium, of great strategic value. The timing of his overseas ventures was remarkable. Invariably, when he was passing through town, a covert or even overt operation appeared to be unfolding. An invasion, a coup, that sort of thing. For example, in 1961, as exiled Cubans and their CIA support team prepared for the Bay of Pigs invasion in Guatemala, George de Morenschild and his wife passed through Guatemala City on what they told friends was a months-long walking tour of the Central American Isthmus.